Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is Matt Peck Day here on CHGO Bears Podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. What's up? Welcome in. If you are watching live on YouTube, you see two grown men wearing the same shirt.
Yes.
And as we determined a couple moments ago, showing a lot of leg hair.
Yeah, shorts.
It's almost June, Adam.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
No, it's a great point. I have been wearing shorts. I don't know why today. It's just something about like the lack of sunshine. It didn't seem like it was that warm out to me.
I just want you to do the Tarantino and Pulp Fiction line and say, you know what you guys look like? A couple of dorks. You know.
I don't think they look like dorks.
I feel bad for those people who don't embrace their dorkiness when they're just, you know, coming out of their Chicago hibernation with hairy, pale legs.
Harry Pale Legs. He was a great running back for the Bears.
I was going to say, is that one of your old favorite players?
He's a member of the Purple People Eaters, wasn't he?
See, I would have believed you if you had just kept going with that with another random football name you always come up with
Harry
that no
Pale
one's
Legs,
ever heard of.
You know, I'm glad that hasn't become a bit with me and like saying random football player name that was before my time and me guessing, is that a real guy? We'll work on that this summer. Okay.
Matt, were you an expert on the 1968 Chicago Bears?
Not so much. You know, I've done a fair amount of homework on my Bears fandom, but sadly, I was born in 87, so I just missed the one and only Super Bowl victory.
We actually just pre-recorded a Memorial Day episode that'll be coming out this weekend that we did our top three Bears memories, and we had to make that clear off the top. I was born 3 months after the Super Bowl, so...
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1994.
And by the time you were born, the party was over because of the challenger. Like, the party was short.
Yes. Yeah, I was born in April, April 16th. What day was the challenger? I should probably know that off the top of my head, the date. It was right around there.
Wasn't it like a few days after the parade?
January 26th or something?
Oh, that's what it was. It was, yeah, you're right. It was right after the parade.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, not great, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bears winning the Super Bowl was pretty
cool. That was
cool. None of us were there for it.
No.
Lawrence was.
Yes, I was.
way to make him feel old.
Jay Sanders here says that Matt Peck looks like Urlacher's kid brother.
I don't know if I should be offended by that or if I should take it as a compliment. I do have a full head of hair. It's just hiding under this hat.
Ah, wow. Hair today.
Or the one that got pardoned by Trump?
Yeah.
Is that what he's talking about?
I assume it's Casey.
Not.
Right?
Yeah. I think Matt Peck looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Personally.
I would agree.
And I think he looks like Matt Peck.
I've
never put
Carhartt.
A lot of effort into it.
Yeah.
The Carhartt hat I dig. I'm a big fan of that hat. I have a similar Bears hat, Carhartt. Same color?
One of a few.
Why are you not wearing it right now?
I know.
My Bears hat collection is not as large as my Bulls hat collection, but I do have several. I've got like two pairs of jeans, two pairs of shorts, a handful of t-shirts, and just zillions of Chicago sports hats.
And tank tops.
Priorities in your wardrobe. Oh, well, yeah. That's what I meant by shirts.
Yes.
Tank tops.
That was implied. Absolutely.
Only a matter of time before the half sleeves come off of this bad boy.
See, and I wore my Shy Slamma Jamma shirt.
Love that.
From Avi Shirts for you today.
Appreciate
Matt.
It.
I'm very excited you're here. We tried to do a big collaborative deal last week. Big Dave was here. You, by the way, you got a lot to live up to.
Oh, I'm so sorry for your viewers and your listeners today who already got Big Dave, which is the greatest present anyone can ever get, is his presence. And now you just got to follow it up with this shitty caboose called me.
Well, hey, we've dealt with it every day since. I mean, the response was so overwhelming that we just feel like we are, you know.
We were like, are we going
to
be here?
We can't live up to that episode. Yeah. We peaked last week with Big Dave here. But we do have to address a question that I know all of our listeners and viewers are wondering. But what the hell happened to the guy who delivered your car? How did he get home?
Yes.
So, okay, and Big Dave took some very creative liberties when telling my story of why I wasn't here with you guys last week. Most of it was false. So,
yeah, he said you guys, you some guy personally delivered your Range Rover.
No, no, the details, Amazon including Prime the kind of car, involved. Are inaccurate in that. I bought a used Toyota 4Runner off of Auto Trader, some nice. Random dealership outside of Philly. And they put it up on, like, central dispatch for truckers. And, you know, so whatever trucker it was that had a trailer that carries cars on it, put his bid on, and then had my car and a few other cars on it head from Philly to Chicago. And his truck carrying my car broke down when it was supposed to be delivered to me the day prior to us doing the Bear Show with you. That truck driver got delayed with my car delivery by a day, and that's why I had to stick around and wait at my house for the car to show up when you guys were doing your show. That is the real story of what happened.
All right, I think we need to get this truck driver now on the show to verify all of this.
Get all sides of the story here.
I think I actually still have his number in my phone because he texted me about not arriving on time and then texted me again the next day to tell me when he was on his way. Seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah. And he obviously probably felt terrible about his truck breaking
down. I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, really, we're all winners at the end of this. You got your car. And
I did.
Now we get two episodes. I mean, you guys are split up, but two episodes, and you're here today. So we're excited about it.
How's the car running?
Pretty good. You know, taking it out of my parking spot in my condo building a couple of times. Still waiting on the plates to get here. So, you know, it's a slow process.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
All right. Well, Matt Peck's here, of course, co-host of the CHGO Bulls podcast. And we'll hit on a little bit of Bulls stuff, but also a Bears fan. We wanted to bring him on to talk some Bears, talk some Justin Fields. First of all, how's everything been going here at CHGO on your side? Happy?
Having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I think Bulls fans were a little disappointed in the quick exit from the playoffs. So they drew an awful matchup with Milwaukee in the first round. But, you know, my guy Big Dave, my guy Will, and I were just thrilled that the Bulls are back in the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. And I think all of us are confident that it's just one step of several of them getting back to relevancy when they were, you know, they went from being a laughingstock of the NBA to people being like, oh, the Bulls are for real again. So that was just like a nice change of pace. Being someone who talks about the Bulls all day, every day, it was like, wow, we actually have a team worth watching. You know, might not be champions yet, might not be championship contenders yet, but a team worth watching is so much better than only being able to complain about a team that's not worth watching. And as Bears fans, we also understand that, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Sure. I mean, let's going back to the moments podcast that we recorded, it was tough to come up with three greatest moments.
Yeah.
It was not easy.
Especially if you were trying to pull from recently.
Yeah. But that same area of our lives, going back with the Bulls, plenty of awesome moments to pick from.
Yeah.
And which is why you guys may not know this about me, but my friend Mark Carman will verify this because we used to do shows together on the weekends at WGN towards the end of the Tibbs era, when things were kind of getting ugly there.
Yeah.
The Bulls were underachieving, and you had post-Derrick Rose knee, and just I think it's still ingrained in me from the 90s, like just growing up and how much I cared about the Bulls and living through all that like, of all the teams that I care about, the Bulls, for some reason, even more than the White Sox, pull, like, more anger out of me than any other team. I don't know what it is. Like, I would just, like, rage on some of the shit that would happen with that team back then. So I was just so happy that they were enjoyable to watch for about half the season, but like really enjoyable to watch there for a while. And even as things, they kind of sputtered to their finish,
yeah,
I was able to look at it through a different lens and not get too angry about how everything ended. And just right. be like, no, this was a good stepping stone in Arturas, I trust.
There was logic in how you saw everything kind of fall apart and unravel. Zach not playing at 100%, playing on a gimpy knee and needing some days off in between playing on a gimpy knee. Obviously, the absence of Lonzo Ball on both ends of the floor, the team's mm-hmm. best defender at the point of attack, and one of their most reliable three-point shooters. The Bulls could not find anyone to knock down a three towards the final stretch of the regular season and in that playoff series. You saw where the flaws were and where the holes were, and so you got to have faith that AK and Eversley are going to come into this offseason and do the best they can. They're going to have to get creative. You know, they don't have a whole lot of wiggle room cap-wise, but they are smart enough to know what the problems are and address them and get better, because that's what they've done in their first two seasons mm-hmm. since they've arrived.
This is the first season in a long time for me that I actually watched the Bulls. Like, they were just, you know, prior, after the Derrick Rose days.
Yeah.
For me, like you, Adam, like, it was just a lot of frustration because they weren't going to meet those expectations anymore. But this year, it was fun seeing DeMar have, like, game winners.
Yeah.
Right? It was fun when they were doing what they were doing kind of that middle stretch of the season and looking like a team like, oh, where can they end up?
Right.
So it's nice to know that they still have – they have a good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
You have people at the top that hopefully can lead them to get to that next step so that when you go into next season, all right, you got to watch out for the Bulls. You got to see what they're going to do in terms of adding players, and then maybe we can go back to those good old days where it's like the Bulls are a contender and – we'll see where they can kind of take it from there.
Well, I mean, before the injury bugs started to pile up, they held the number one seed in the East or were right there in number two for mm-hmm. the first half of the season. I mean, it wasn't until the day before the All-Star break when it was decided if it was Chicago or Miami with a tiebreaker coming into the All-Star break yep. as the number one seed in the East. And, you know, it quickly fell apart because of injuries, but they're close to being where they need to be.
We'll talk some Bears, I promise. Zach LaVine going to be back, though?
Right here.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Nick's dad, who came out to our CHGO softball game on Monday. And as we were all saying our goodbyes after the game, we did take an L on Monday, but we're going to bounce back after Memorial Day weekend bye week.
Oh, by the way, are you okay?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my left quad is totally busted. Oh, but, no, you know, no. I'm walking around. We've got a bye week. I'm hopefully going to let it heal, and I'm sure I'll re-tear it when I'm running to first base in a couple of weeks.
That's an that's the attitude I
like. I am getting old, but I am not admitting that to myself yet. But, yeah, so Nick's dad was asking me as we were all heading away from the diamond. He was like, hey, Zach LaVine. I was like, he's staying. He's staying.
Oh, then book it.
He's staying.
Book it.
Biggest contract.
I didn't hear that.
Right here.
Yeah, that's where he can make the most money.
You know, there's a lot of noise going on right now. I'm pretty sure most of that noise is coming from Clutch Sports, who are just wanting the Bulls to be aware of the fact that Zach could have some options if they don't want to pony up the dough.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, fair enough. That makes sense. All right. Well, the Bears.
Bears.
When did you – I mean, you grew up a Bears fan, but – so where do they fall in your maybe your anger meter, as I described earlier with the Bulls?
Well, so anger meter, I would say, is right in line with passion meter for, you know, where do Chicago sports fans rank the passion for their teams. The Bears, pretty much for a long time now, have always been number two right under the Bulls for me. As I mentioned, I've never seen them win a Super Bowl. I've seen them make one Super Bowl. So there's been a lot of frustration there. But it actually, like, I wasn't a Bears fan right out of the gate in my childhood as a kid growing up in the suburbs the way that I was with the Bulls. You know, we're right around the same age, Adam. You, growing up in and around Chicago, you're like, oh, I'm a diehard Bulls fan. I worship Michael Jordan. It was like, here's your birth certificate. Here's your Bulls fandom. Yeah. You grew up in the 90s. And I actually, so, you know, the Bulls and basketball was the sport that I loved watching. Soccer was the sport that I loved playing. And up until, like, end of middle school and into high school, I was one of those, like, obnoxious people in Europe and all over the world have figured it out faster than us, like, snooty soccer people who thought football was dumb. Like, I had a shirt that I wear to school all the time that had a picture of a soccer ball that said, this is your brain, and then underneath it a picture of a football and said, this is your brain on drugs. Wow. Like, I was obnoxiously anti-football. And then around, I think it was eighth grade, my eighth grade history teacher was a diehard Bears fan, and we had him first period, and every Monday he would hand out grades for the Bears from that Sunday's game. The coach, special teams, the quarterback, the defense. And I was like, well, whatever. This is 10 minutes that we don't have to listen to boring history lectures. Yeah. Great. Let's talk about Bears football. But I would rag on him because the Bears were awful. Like, so it was 2000. I think they went 5-11 that year, where it was like the triple-headed QB monster of Cade McNown, Shane Matthews, and the old aging Jim Miller, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would rag my history teacher all the time. I'm like, the Bears suck. Meanwhile, the Chicago Fire were pretty darn good. Like, they won the MLS Cup in 98 as an expansion team. And so we always had these debates like, ah, soccer, Chicago Fire. And he was like, what soccer? Bear down. And that's sort of how my Bears fandom started. And then the year after that, that 2001 team went 13-3. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like Roosevelt Colvin and young Urlacher, young Mike Brown, Marty Booker. And I was like, okay, I love football now. That's how it went.
That was the team that did it for you.
2001 Bears.
All right.
So since then, Matt, like, obviously, like you said, they've only been to the Super Bowl once.
Mm-hmm.
Has your Bears fandom been tested to the point where it's like, man, is this even worth it? Like, they're going to – we know almost like the end result every season. You see the Green Bay's always winning division and doing things. But has there ever been, like, a point where, oh, this is
– So, I mean, no, because I think I'm more conditioned to the Bears being losers. Whereas, like, it was a lot harder to watch the Bulls in the post-dynasty years because I got used to winning. As a kid, I was like, oh, another championship. Thank you very much. May I have another? And then I got another. With the Bears, it's like, they've been good maybe four seasons out of the collective 20 that I've been a fan. And I take it for what it is. If they surprise me with a winning season, I'm like, hey, that's fun. And when they don't surprise me and have a losing season, I'm not as upset because it's what I expected out of the gate. Whereas, so like, I was listening to y'all's conversation with my guy Big Dave from last week, and he was saying that, like, he was this close, as closest he'd ever been to just walking out the door on the Bears, abandoning them, and then they took Justin Fields in the draft, and he was like, okay, I'm not done. I'm not ready to leave yet. So, I mean, I never got that close to abandoning them, but I'm really hoping that this is probably a transition year we're looking at, the 2022 season. They got to get it together after this, please.
People forget how, like, I don't blame Big Dave for that. Those 3 months after the end of the 2020 season where you had the disastrous Zoom press conference.
So bad.
With George McCaskey, Ted Phillips.
Collaboration. Ugh.
With all those awful sound bites that came out, I still argue to this day that there were legitimate reasons for bringing Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace back for one more year. Obviously, that didn't work out. But my point is, you could have come to the table with arguments why you're keeping them. They didn't make an argument for why they were keeping them. They just put it was. In terms of press conferences, like, I'll never forget it because it just lit a fire under every Bears fan and angered them so much. And then you had this brief period where people are thinking, oh, maybe they'll get Russell Wilson in there, which got people a little bit excited. And then that turned into signing Andy Dalton. So before the drafting of Justin Fields, I think a lot of fans were there. Like, because trust me. Mm-hmm. That was, like, not fun covering the Bears at all because it was just pure negativity every single day in your Twitter mentions. And
I remember the QB1 tweet that, like, sent Bears Twitter off the deep end.
Yeah.
Awful.
I mean, to go from that, I remember just being in the parking lot at the high school I was working at where they did sign Andy Dalton. It's like, we were up here, Russell Wilson, potentially, and then Andy Dalton. It's like, how much worse can it possibly get at this point?
And how is this any different than Nick Foles. How is this any different? Yes. That, well, like, at least Dalton was a serviceable QB for a mediocre team for a while. Like, I was about to say, how is this any different from Mike Glennon? It's a little different from Mike Glennon, no, but not that different from Mike Glennon. We're going to pay an aging, wasn't ever that good QB a ridiculous boatload of money to come here and be bad at football. Woo! But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, it never deeply upsets me because that's what I expect from the Bears.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
So, your expectations for Justin Fields?
I was telling our guy Lawrence here before we came on, cautiously optimistic. I've seen bits and pieces from his rookie year that there's evidence that he has the toolkit to be a good NFL quarterback. What, you know, some of the throws from this past season where he puts it on a dime, a back shoulder route to one of his receivers along the sideline, or he makes a great throw on the run, and you've seen that he is a, you know, a versatile weapon QB who can hurt you with his legs. Like, all of that stuff we saw, but we only saw it in bits and pieces because the Bears' offensive scheme and offensive game plan week to week last year was just absolute dog shit. And so I'm hoping that with a new offensive system, hopefully some better protection, we can see Justin Fields kind of blossom. And I saw in one of y'all's shows earlier this week, I think when you're talking about OTA stuff and some quotes from the new coach, what, you know, Ebenezer Flus, that he's really impressed with Fields' long ball. And I'm like, great. Can we see that?
Right.
Do we have the receivers to do the second part of a quarterback throwing a long ball? Because Fields barely ever threw the ball downfield last season. And not because he doesn't have an arm, but because that's what Nagy was having him do. So, you know, I am still a little bit skeptical. Like, is this finally the season where we get to see the Bears run a modern NFL offense? Or no?
Yeah, I'm just hoping for functional.
Functional. That would be a good start.
I've been using that F word a lot this offseason. Just search it for functional, which, and I sometimes find myself on an island with this, but I actually do think it's possible to get there with the personnel they have. And that's why I'm using that word functional, because I think to expect more than that is a little unrealistic. Bringing up a great point that you just brought up, like, if you're going to throw deep balls, you got to have somebody to go up and get it on the other end or be open right on the other end. And I, you know, you can scheme some of that open to a certain extent, but they're not going to have those absolute dudes that can do that regularly. But, you know, I just look back at all the things they effed up so much, like just getting to the line of scrimmage on time or getting a play in on time.
The classic false start after a timeout.
Oh, or
the
that was like a free space on your special bingo card.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, call timeout because you're about to have a delay game, and then false start right after it.
Absolutely. Or run a play that loses yards out of that timeout.
Or have 12 men on the field after the timeout. Oh, like, but well, you know, like, we're joking, but we're not, because that all actually happened.
It did. Yeah.
And just fixing that with coaching, with the new coaches here, could actually make a pretty significant difference, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And I do think that this scheme is very intriguing. We're still trying to picture what it's actually going to be, but we're starting to hear more and more from these assistant coaches the last couple of weeks that we've had an opportunity to talk to them. And it actually does start to excite me a little bit, just the idea of, you know, beyond the personnel and what they do and do not have, but this outside zone running scheme being very quarterback friendly with the boots and the screens and the play action, all this stuff that we were screaming for so much the last couple seasons.
Right.
I actually do think it's possible to get to functional with what they have, because if you have a good quarterback, and I still believe in Justin Fields, you can make that happen.
Yeah. And again, functional. We're asking for what? 3 offensive touchdowns a game? Wouldn't that be nice? What did the Bears' offense average in points per game last season?
18.
Like 12?
Surprisingly, 18.
Yeah, it felt like 12.
It felt like 12.
Sometimes you're happy to get 12 yards a quarter.
And that's been really frustrating with, you know, this last stretch of Rodgers, you know, up there in Green Bay, is even if the Bears' defense is good, elite QBs and elite offenses still manage to beat elite defenses in the NFL. So whoever the Bears have a tailback, whoever the Bears QB is, they can't outscore the good NFL teams, because even if their defense donates them a touchdown and a couple of takeaways and some great field position, all the Bears offense can muster, it's like, well, we got 10 points. We got one in the end zone. We got one through the uprights. Another solid Sunday in the books. You're like, no, we're going to need more than that.
Awesome. Matt, you mentioned defense. What are your thoughts on Matt Eberflus? The Bears going that route where it seems like the NFL collectively, hey, let's go sign the up-and-coming offensive coordinator to be the head coach, but the Bears went the different route.
So they tried that with Nagy, who's like this, you know, offensive genius that we plucked away from, you know, the coaching tree, you know, over there in Kansas City. And like, okay, it worked for a season. 2018 was a lot of fun, wasn't it? And then everybody like got tape on all of his tricky, gimmicky stuff, and he all of a sudden, you know, the house of cards collapsed. The fact that they're sort, you know, it's the Bears and this ownership group, and they always seem to kind of overcorrect after they've decided that where they are on this road, they need to turn onto a different one. They overcorrect a lot. So as far as Eberflus, like, I haven't loved what I've heard from him out of the gate, you know, since he was hired and brought in, because a lot of it is just a different dialect of the same language that Matt Nagy spoke, which is vague platitudes and coach speak. And I'm like, can we get some like solid NFL scheming? Can we like have a solid offensive playbook? I don't want to hear this, that, and the other thing about our to-do list of being upright Bears citizens when we walk through the doors every day. Like, to hell with that kind of speak. Just organize and then go out and perform good winning football. So yeah, that's how I feel about Eberflus. I guess we'll see what happens week one, but right now, absolutely call me a skeptic.
I think you sound like a skeptic. I mean, I can't blame you, because we've been through these cycles over and over again, and like, you kind of, it's every Bears fan should be skeptical. Very skeptical, because that's how this thing goes usually.
Well, you have an offensive coordinator that's never called plays, a defensive coordinator that hasn't called plays in the last 10 years, Matt Eberflus being a first-year head coach, and a second-year quarterback that we still need to see. We need to see what he can do in an offense that doesn't have the best weapons, that doesn't have a right guard at this moment.
Subtle dig at Darnell Mooney, my guy. Come on.
Yeah. But there's just so many question marks here, man. That's why, you know, if you're skeptical about what the Bears can be, it makes sense.
Yeah. Because, again, like, they've sold off their aging expensive pieces on defense and still don't have enough support and weapons for this quarterback, this young quarterback they're trying to develop. So it doesn't really seem like they're putting a lot of their effort and a lot of their stock into either side of the football. Are they an offensive team or a defensive team in 2022? Right now it looks like neither, because they have a young, exciting QB, but what's their O-line going to look like, and who's he throwing the ball to? So, like, that guy we drafted who's, like, 35 years old or whatever.
Bayless
Jones Jr., right. So I saw that, you know, he's a great run-after-the-catch threat in college, or was, you know, but that 80% of his receptions in college were 10 yards past, you know, 10 yards or shorter as far as the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
What element is that going to add to this offense that already, as we just said, has trouble getting the ball downfield?
I think they have a plan for him, but I totally understand where the skepticism comes in, because it's 3 touchdowns a game. Shouldn't be a lot to ask for, but, you know, that's what Bears fans are asking for. Hey, the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000, but that's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. You can get this one that these two cats are wearing, and it's a pretty good shirt. You guys make it look pretty good. $2,000 of free bets, a free CHGO membership, free T-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. And if you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and Matt Peck will personally respond to you and help you out. Your home for live in-play betting just got even better. They have the live NBA same-game parlay. You can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay only with PointsBet, and you can boost those parlays. Watch live, parlay live, Boost Live with PointsBet. Online sign-up is available in Illinois. Download the PointsBet app right now. Register your account. Start to finish all from your phone. Just don't be green bubble guy like Nick over here. What are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah, Matt, I don't know if you know, but Adam, your team Apple there too? iPhone?
Oh, Android all the way.
Oh, let's go. Same
two green bubble guys here.
Shorts.
Look at these guys.
Yeah, because I'm not one of those Apple sheep that uses their terrible products.
Oh, my God.
PCs and Androids.
Let's go.
What?
I do it like that. I do it like them. Yikes. You know what I also like? Athletic Greens. As you know, I've been taking my Athletic Greens every morning for my workouts, and
which is perfect. It goes right with your green bubbles.
There you go, green. See, yeah. It all works out. Mm-hmm. With one scoop of Athletic Greens, you are absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day off right. This mixture of ingredients helps your immune system, gives you energy, and improves your focus, and that's why I take my Athletic Greens, and you should too. What's awesome about Athletic Greens is that it costs you less than a cup of coffee a day. Also, it helps support better sleep quality and recovery, which we all definitely need. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGOBears. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGOBears to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutrition insurance.
All right. Couple things on Fields. There's a couple of interesting tweets from this morning that I wanted to get to because one of the videos from practice the other day kind of went viral, and it's really simple. It's just Justin Fields working with quarterback's coach, Andrew Giannakko. But a couple quarterback people that I have a lot of respect for, their quarterback opinions, mm-hmm. responded after seeing this video. One of them's Dan Orlovsky.
Okay.
And Dan tweeted, looks really smooth at the top, feet tied to the upper body, drop of the ball is way less than a year ago, cleaner equals quicker. And then Nate Tice, who is a frequent guest on the Hogan Johns podcast and really knows his quarterbacks, not only because, mainly because he's a Badger, but he did, play quarterback at Wisconsin. He didn't start, but he backed up Russell Wilson.
I don't trust anyone from up there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nobody?
Nope. Not a one.
Just right across the border. Can't trust them.
Makes sense.
Canada.
Then you'd have a tough time with pretty much anyone in my family.
Well, we can be friends at the office, Adam, but if I never get an invitation to Thanksgiving, that's okay.
Canada? Canada invented curling.
Ah, going back to the curling.
You know what I'd rather do? Watch curling than hang out with people from Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Well, we could watch curling. I'm down with that. All right. Nate Tice said, it is two throws from drills, but Fields does look to have shortened up his lead foot when throwing. It's quickened everything up a bit. Have to wait to see what it looks like with a pass rush and real team reps, but it's encouraging. Woo. So it does appear that there have been some small mechanical tweaks that they've been working on with Justin Fields. Again, that kind of just clean things up quick. And things
pretty,
up. That's the point, right?
Pretty good.
Love it.
I was like, where is that coming from? Love it. But, you know, it makes sense that they're working on not only the release but the footwork there, Adam, because they're going to implement this quick game into this offense. And I know we want to see Justin Fields throw the ball downfield. You also got to know, like, the offensive line that he has in front of him and trying to get his playmakers that he does have – those opportunities to get yards after the catch. So implementing the quick game obviously takes some pressure off the offensive line, gets those playmakers the ball, but it really just keeps you in rhythm. And if you have the proper footwork, the proper mechanics to do so, and it looks like Fields is tightening up that release,
right,
making it a little quicker, having now the left foot forward and opposed to the right, switching that up now, this should help sync up everything that, you know, what's working for the Packers. Obviously, it's Aaron Rodgers and that offense, but that's what they're trying to bring here, this quick timing offense that can allow the guys that they do have at the wide receiver position to capitalize on the opportunities they get.
Yeah, which is encouraging to hear, because it did appear that Fields had some issues with his footwork, especially when that pocket was collapsing, and with his release time. And if he can tighten up the footwork and tighten up his release time while we are still all wondering what the quality of his offensive line is going to be, that's a good thing. And sometimes, you know, watching the Bears every Sunday last season, it was hard to tell, is this a Fields not getting rid of the ball quickly enough problem, or is it a, oh, dear God, the offensive line is giving him negative seconds problem? I think it was a little bit of both, but it was just so hard to tell. I think that one game in particular against the Browns, I was like, Fields can't be this much of a problem getting rid of the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Nagy and, you know, the coaching staff did him no favors with additional protection in that game. What, Myles Garrett had, what, 16 sacks in one game or whatever it was?
Yep. It was a record.
Yeah. It's encouraging to hear that they're working in tandem with hopefully making a better, more competent and protective offensive line, but also seeing if Fields can just get rid of the ball a little bit more quickly.
But that's another thing that I go back to, where we talk about just making the offense functional with coaching. I understand why people are doubting this offensive line, but it still can be better just with a better scheme, with players that fit the scheme better, and not putting them on an island in situations. And football's all about matchups. Don't give your players bad matchups, which is all they did in Cleveland that entire game. We talked about this last week when Tevin Jenkins came in, literally walking on an NFL field for the first time because Jason Peters got hurt at Lambeau Field, and the very first snap, on an island.
One-on-one.
Welcome to the NFL. You're on an island. We're not going to help you out at all. Like, just shit like that. If this new coaching staff fixes these things, and we're, from all early indications, we're seeing them use common sense to address some of this stuff, I think it'll be better.
I think so too, Adam. I want to get your thoughts, Matt, on the draft picks that the Bears went, and they both go defense. You know, obviously we're talking about Justin Fields. He needs more weapons, but they go Kyler Gordon, Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah.
To help that Bears secondary that did need some help.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts when they kind of went that direction?
I was okay with it. You know, as much as I was in my Bears meat-headed, you know, fandom, thinking like, for the love of God, draft Fields an awesome wide receiver, or draft him a stud offensive lineman. The way that the board fell when they, you know, when they were on the clock starting around two, it just didn't really make sense unless you were really going to reach for somebody. So I was fine that they went back-to-back DB-DB because they needed those guys too. Like, the Bears secondary was kind of poopy last season. And it was like, dude, what happened to Eddie Jackson? Just how good is Jalen Johnson? He can be a reliable guy. I was watching a guy's show from what, yesterday or the day before, about how he's now like playing with the twos?
Like, yeah, what? That's just a message. But yes, the fact that that's happening is still a thing.
So, but all that to say, I was fine that they went corner and then safety. And, you know, I watched the tape on those guys as soon as they drafted him. I am a little bit concerned about size. And Jaquan looked like amazing attack in that line of scrimmage, but maybe has an issue with his tackling and wrapping guys up, which, like, I feel like the Bears always love drafting those wiry little, like, combo, you know, safeties who can love to blitz, but then if they miss their blitz, like, you know, you give up a 30-yard play. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, and then I'm glad that they did also address the offensive line in later rounds. And, like, if so, they took four offensive linemen, right?
Yeah,
if two of them turn out to be serviceable and can play on any given Sunday, I'll be happy with that. The one thing that is a little disappointing is they took one wide receiver that
Bayless Jones,
Man,
who you said was 35,
right? That I guess that's the one area where I was disappointed, and maybe he turns out to be something great, and it's not a big deal that he's already as old as he is if he actually makes their offense a little bit more, you know, multidimensional.
Well, if he can plug into the offense right away and has that maturity that he's talked about that he believes he has, then he could, because, you know, it's funny because we focus on age so much, and then sometimes you realize that it takes 2 or 3 years for some of these wide receivers to get to that point anyway. Yeah. And then by the time they're good, they're 25 and in the third or fourth year of the rookie contract.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, so where do you guys see him stacking up in the Bears wide receiver depth chart, like coming into training camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to work him in there. I don't know that it's going to be I think it's going to be kind of a very specific situation. Game plan early on. Like, they're going to go into the first game against 49ers, and there's going to be kind of a package of plays.
So there's going to be like a portion of the playbook that has him running routes and very specific routes.
I mean, that's what I'm guessing. I think that, you know, and within that, it's going to be a variation of some things, you know, jet sweeps maybe in the backfield, routes out of the backfield, in the slot, just trying to put him in a position where if you can just get one big splash play with him early with the ball in his hands, and he may be one of those guys where, and I think he will be one of those guys that you're just going to have to throw the ball to him quickly. That's apparently kind of what his route tree was in college.
Yeah.
But you get the ball in his hands quickly, you get a big chunk play, you get those explosives, then all of a sudden, the next time he comes on the field, five plays after that, the defense is kind of scrambling to account for him.
Right.
And then that helps Darnell Mooney out. I mean, that's kind of the role I'm envisioning for him. What that comes out when the snap counts come out the next day and the next morning and we're looking at those, you know, maybe it's 20 to 30% of the offensive plays.
Yeah.
And then you try to build on that if it works.
That sounds about right, Adam. Like, it's going to be situationally, too, I think, especially with Velus. Like, just on Tuesday's practice, he was running a jet sweep, and then he kind of carried his motion out of bounds. And again, rookie mistake. We had Equanimeous St. Brown go up to him and say, you know, kind of coach him up a little bit. But that's how I kind of envision him being a part of that offense early on. Those 20-30%. But in the special teams game, he should be, you know, competing for a kick return, punt return spot.
Right.
And making his impact there, getting this Bears offense hopefully better field position. And I do think collectively for the wide receiver group, it's going to be a committee of guys.
Yeah.
Like, no, yes, they have Darnell Mooney, who's the number one. Byron Pringle, who they brought in on a one-year deal. Equanimeous. Have some veterans with Tajay Sharpe and Dante Pettis. Like, not the best and
I love how they just plucked, like, the fifth or sixth guys on the depth chart for the Chiefs and the Packers. Like, well, if they can make this roster and this wide receiver depth chart, they must be pretty decent, right?
That's the hope right now. And maybe in this office they get better opportunities, but it's definitely going to be a committee approach to try to get that wide receiver room right.
Well, and if it's that kind of skill set that their receivers have, and if they're trying to help Fields by getting the ball out of his hands more quickly, look, like, obviously the Chiefs and the Packers, they do take their shots downfield when they work them into their game plan and they set up for the perfect opportunity to take those deep shots. But they also, so many of their long drives and so many of the chunk yards in those long drives are just freeing up their shifty receivers 5 yards off the line of scrimmage and letting them tear off another 10 or 15 after the catch.
Yep.
Which, like, if you can make that work, if you have the personnel to make that work, great. Go do that, Bears.
Go do that, Bears is right. And they also have a guy named, what, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers to make things kind of work.
That helps, too.
So that helps a little bit.
When is Rodgers going to leave? God, I just want to go into a cryo chamber until that dude retires.
I feel like we
got so close, right? And everyone's so, like, oh, this could be it. And I was like, he's never leaving.
Yeah.
Remember when he and Devontae were like, they stole the Last Dance slogan from the Bulls before last season started?
Oh,
it was like, one that was like, first of all, how many titles have you guys won? This is the Last Dance of how many?
Yep. That's a great point because together they won zero.
Zero. Devontae, not around when Rodgers won all the way back in 2010.
And then you have Robbie Gould kick him out of the playoffs in Lambeau Field, right? With the 49ers?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. Which, honestly, it may go down, and I hope, knock on wood, it stays this way. My favorite Bears-Packers rivalry stat of all time is that Aaron Rodgers has the same number of Super Bowl appearances as Rex Grossman. Uno.
What a stat. Yeah.
God, I love that. Brings me so much joy. Every season when the Packers lose short of the Super Bowl, the stat still stands, y'all.
Grossman and Rodgers.
Rodgers won. Grossman won.
Guys, I have to ask you all a question. Do you want to start your day with a competitive edge, Adam?
No, not today.
Okay. No, that's all right. Good.
Always. Always. My whole life is a competition.
And, you know, we go with Team Android here, so of course we do. Strava CBD Coffee is a game changer and has helped thousands of people to improve their overall wellness and quality of life. Strava.
Well, you didn't say it was Strava. Well, then I definitely want to have a competitive edge. Well,
okay, there
we
go.
I didn't know you were going there.
You should do. That's how it usually starts. But Strava delivers delicious fresh roasted specialty coffee infused with organic
and organic.
That too. Broad spectrum CBD. Just so you know, CBD from hemp doesn't make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits that can help you. Like feeling alert and focused without the jitters, living your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. Plus, including CBD in your daily routine can help you enjoy more restful sleep so you can wake up feeling at your best. And the best part about all this, Strava is all about quality. Everything is small batch, fresh, and shipped straight to your door. Strava also offers concentrated full-spectrum CBD tinctures for those looking for a more traditional CBD format with a powerful entourage effect of benefits. And here's the most important part. CHGO listeners can save 25% off their entire purchase when you use code CHGO25. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you use code CHGO25 at checkout. Discount coupon valid on non-subscription purchases only. One use per customer. Already love Strava? Subscribe and save with the Strava Coffee Club. With Strava, you are in control. Save on your favorite coffees and have them automatically delivered to your home or office on your preferred schedule.
Hey, want to make sure you know about all of our podcasts and live shows that we have at CHGO. Of course, Matt Peck here is from the CHGO Bulls podcast. And I was just catching up here. We might have to talk about this. Lawrence, were you at least kind of listening to the well, maybe this show, but you don't have to listen to this one, but were you by any chance paying attention to the Chicago Mount Rushmore they were just doing on the CHGO Sports?
I mean, I was producing Blackhawks, so I just caught some of it. I know is that no one picked Jonathan Toews, and I'm very upset about it.
Lawrence was very upset about that.
I'm just realizing that because I'm looking at the tweet we put out that had the results, which you can get at @CHGO_sports, which is right there on your screen. You can go there and find this tweet. Is this the order, though, that the picks went?
It was a snake draft, I believe, and I believe...
But Michael Jordan went fourth?
No. Cody started with the one.
Okay.
He went MJ one overall. So I believe it was a snake, but it's just, like, backwards.
Because what I'm looking at, I thought Cody had the fourth pick, looking at the tweet. And I was very confused for a second that Michael Jordan may have gone...
No, so they probably just made the graphic and lined up all four to just put their four picks underneath their names and their faces.
Got it. Because Walter Payton was number two for sure.
There you go.
I talked to Cody right after they wrapped up over there, and he said I had number one. And I went MJ.
I will stand down then.
I mean, you could stand down, but it did go what? Jordan, Payton, Kane, Ditka, I believe, is the way it went.
And yes. Yeah.
Ditka?
Yes.
First round? It was the logo for Midway Minute. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not a fan of that.
There's a guy, Kevin, over there.
Ditka's a Chicago legend. He's also like 30% meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
have felt for years now that Bears fans need to move on from Ditka. Like,
they won't.
It's an old trope. It's worn out. It's tired. He's an old trope. He's worn out. He's tired. Put him out to pasture. Buddy Ryan was the true legend of that team. Not Ditka.
Well, you know what?
You got a problem with that statement? Come at me. I don't care.
Here we go. You haven't angered the commenters enough. Now we're
How dare you say anything bad about Mike Ditka? Whatever.
Love it.
Did anyone tell Herb that Frank Thomas didn't go to, like, I can't even tell now what pick it was, but somewhere in the second round, I think?
Is that maybe right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You'll just have to talk to
Joey.
She
will
about
not like that, too.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
And for a second I thought Scottie Pippen didn't get drafted.
He did.
But he got drafted. Okay, I'm going to stand down. Everything's good.
Sell down here.
Seemed like you just really wanted to nitpick people's Mount Rushmore.
I did. I actually did. And I'm in the middle of still of a live read here, I think. But we do have shows like this every single day. And if you want to go back and check out the Mount Rushmore episode, you should. It's the CHGO Sports Podcast, which just aired a little bit earlier before this one. So you can go back in the channel, find it. Also, subscribe to the podcast if you just want to listen to it.
Hit the damn like button, too.
Yeah, do that. I don't say that enough. When I bring up that there's really no downside to hitting that button. Last time, like, your phone doesn't explode if you hit it.
It may be an Android.
I was going to say an Apple or a MacBook, but you beat me to it.
MacBook for sure.
Mm-hmm. No way. So hit that like button. Subscribe. Please do. We also have all the premium written content at allchgo.com. And we got the merch for you. These awesome shirts these gentlemen are wearing. And you get a free shirt when you become a member. So if you haven't done already, you might as well get that free shirt. And check out the members only Discord as well. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore?
Mm. Well, MJ and Walter right off the bat. One, two. Yeah.
Same.
It's tempting to throw Taze on there because, like, outside of my childhood Bulls six title dynasty, the Hawks winning 3 in 6 years is the next best thing that the city of Chicago has, really. And then, man, I might throw Frank Thomas on there too, but maybe instead I might go Harry Carey.
Hi.
Yeah. Exactly.
I couldn't tell if that was an objection or an impression.
That was an impression.
Or maybe both. The more I've just looked at this, I have a strong take.
Oh, what's that?
I'm about to deliver. Ozzie Guillen should be on here. Ozzie Guillen, how many of our if you're doing Chicago, this is just Chicago sports figures, right? That's why Harry Carey's on the list. He's a broadcaster. Okay. How many sports figures in Chicago have been a good player?
Yeah.
He's the best White Sox defensive player ever if you look at some of the metrics.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, offensively, not so much, but defensively, he checks that box as a player. World Series manager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's made himself a pretty legendary broadcaster, too,
right,
with his postgame show and all the fire he brings on that. That's pretty strong.
Right. That's a very good point, which is why I might also throw into the, like, honorable mention category, if not one of the four, Norm Van Leer and Johnny Red Kerr for the same reasons. Johnny Red Kerr, first Bulls coach. Norm Van Leer, member of the only team outside of the dynasty to even reach the conference finals, along that, you know, with Bob Love and Jerry Sloan and those guys. And then an absolutely beloved broadcaster in Norm Van Leer's later years. And then, of course, Johnny Red Kerr on the mics for the dynasty years.
So for me personally, like, I think I asked Lawrence this, like, was Devin Hester mentioned on there? And I know. It's like, though it's tough, but that's the greatest return man of all time. He will be in the Hall of Fame.
Will be. Day. Yeah.
And that's, again, my personal favorite player growing up. So I may have found a way to put him on my list of Mount Rushmores for Chicago sports figures, but I don't know.
It's also hard to pick just one bear. Like, if you have to pick just one bear, it's Walter.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yep.
I mean, Samurai Mike. Mongo, shout out Mongo, man. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Team Mongo.
That's a tough choice to narrow it down to one bear.
I kind of get Dicka a little bit, like, it, because it is like just Chicago, like guys that represent Chicago, and like almost more so outside Chicago, like people just associate Dicka with Chicago, like at Chicago,
yeah. Right?
You know, you could go like some other country and be like, "Hey, what's the first thing you think about when you think about Chicago? Ditka."
Right, but people outside of Chicago think we only eat deep dish pizza. Which is like the furthest thing from the truth.
No, for sure. We need tavern style.
Tavern style.
Mm-hmm. Cut in squares.
Yeah. Party cut.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, I love party cut. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about a haircut for a second.
No.
You got your party cut. Cut off all your hair. Now you got your party cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have you should go back and check out that podcast, as you should be checking out the Bull Show every single day. How are you guys getting through the offseason right now?
So we just spent the last month or so after they bowed out in the first round doing individual player grades and evaluations, and then also projecting their offseason. Are they coming back? What's their contract situation? If they are coming back, what would we like to see them improve upon next season as far as their game? And then we just wrapped up with the last members of the deep bench yesterday. We did Tristan Thompson and Matt Thomas, or Matty Legend, as Big Dave calls him. And so today we are now shifting to continuing the evaluations, but doing front office and coaching. So today we're going to look at Arturis Karnišovas, Mark Eversley, and what they did with the draft, transactions, and all that, and evaluating their 21-22 season, and then looking ahead to their to-do list this offseason.
Am I right in feeling pretty confident in those two?
AK and Eversley?
Yeah.
Yeah. What it was for me that finally put all of my faith behind them, and I understood that they had to evaluate before making any drastic moves when they first arrived. When they first arrived, a lot of Bulls fans were immediately impatient because they were like, well, you know, why did we hire a new front office if they're not going to do anything? It's like they have to see what they inherited. But this past offseason, when they executed several sign-in trades, you know, they first it was Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan, then getting Lowry out of town when no one wanted him on the free agent market and managing to get DJJ and a future Portland pick out of that. And then also another sign and trade to send Tice to Houston, and the Bulls still have that usable trade player exception for their offseason moves this season from that. They made four sign and trades in one offseason. Jeez. The previous regime, and I won't say their names, I don't even think they knew what a sign and trade was. I say that only half jokingly. And AK and Eversley made four happen in one offseason, along with convincing Caruso to abandon the Lakers and come here. They're great. And they nailed Io at 38. Like, oh, yeah. They're great.
That's why I don't understand some of the angst of, like, okay, it's great that this team got here, but how are they ever going to get over the hump? How are they ever going to become? And I think some of that is just because, like, as Bulls fans, we've been to that point before and seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just keep going back to how much they did just last offseason.
Yeah.
You think they're just going to do massive. Nothing this offseason?
I mean, they inherited a team going nowhere. The only members that are left are Zach and Kobe, and Kobe might be gone this offseason. Mm-hmm. They flipped an entire roster in less than 2 years on the job and then took them from the bottom of the basement in the East to a sixth seed and without injuries to key pieces, probably a top four seed in less than 2 years. And like some Bulls fans, because maybe one of their transactions, that being, you know, giving up two future firsts and Wendell for Vooch at the trade deadline their first year on the job, didn't love it because Vooch had a down year. It was like Vooch was adapting to being the third offensive option instead of the one option that he was in Orlando. And he's still better than Wendell. Wendell just had the best year of his NBA career, and Vooch's numbers are still better in a down year. So even the biggest gripe that Bulls fans have with AK and Eversley, that being the Vooch trade, is still not that bad.
Yeah, man, I was actually going to ask you about that, because every time I was watching Bulls games, then you see Bulls Twitter, it seemed like Vooch was a very polarizing
hot topic. But shout out going to the mall in the 90s.
So do you think now being in year two with the Bulls, like, it will be better for Vooch? Again, being in obviously continuity there, but you're feeling good about
Vooch. I have optimism forward. That, you know, he can continue to adapt to that role and adjust to that role and do better. I mean, his shooting numbers were gross. And to me, he got good looks and he just had the yips for large stretches of the season. And I am putting my faith in the fact that he can bounce back from that. And, like, you know, it was something that he added to his game late. A lot of the centers in the NBA today don't add that 3-point shot until halfway through their career, and that's what happened with Vooch. But he built himself up to a 40% 3-point shooter his last couple of years in Orlando, and his first season in Chicago, a lot of adjustments mm-hmm. to his individual role offensively. The shooting numbers fell, but it's like it wasn't like he was just only missing his threes. Like, he was missing bunnies around the rim, and that's just a player who has the yips, who's trying to adjust to a new atmosphere. So yeah, I think it'll be better next season.
It's encouraging.
Matt Peck, appreciate you being here. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. This is so much fun.
It's nice
to switch things up a bit. Like, I'm so behind on what the Bears are doing.
Yeah.
Because usually the Bulls are dead in the water by, like, January. And I'm always like, all right, Bears draft, let's go. Yeah, and now I find myself playing catch up over the last couple of weeks because I actually had to pay attention to the Bulls until the end of April.
Yeah.
Which is a nice change of pace.
Which is why our listeners, viewers should be checking you guys out on the Bulls.
Come for Big Dave and Will.
I would sound the same exact way if I went on your Bull show. I'd probably spout out a bunch of passionate things and sound like an idiot. And half the time, not that you did. I'm just saying that.
I absolutely did.
I'm saying that
Let's
I would.
Let's call a spade a spade.
I'm saying that I would sound like an idiot on your show. But I'd love to come on and sound like an idiot. So please.
You're always welcome.
Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. That sounded like was fishing for an invite there. And I was worried.
Oh, you're always welcome.
Okay. Yeah.
And I didn't get, like, an invitation in the mail. It was just in our, you know, Slack. So Dave or Will will send you a Slack invitation. Unless you want, like, calligraphy, like, handwritten note invitation truly official.
Yeah, I only operate that way. I only go to parties where I actually get a physical invite. If you don't send me one of those, I don't come.
Don't get the cheap envelopes. You don't lick that and Costanza situation.
Yeah. You know, we're almost at wedding season, so I'm sure there are all kinds of shops around Chicago like that mm-hmm. that specialize in like fancy letters and envelopes and all that stuff.
Hey, we had a lot of fun today. Appreciate everyone being here. CHGO Bears Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @CHGO_Bears, @CHGO_sports. I'm at Adam Hoge. He's at Nicholas Moriano. He's at Bulls_Peck, correct?
Correct.
The underscore in there. Bulls_Peck. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Will DeWitt will be with us as well. And then we got that bonus episode coming over Memorial Day weekend as well. So we'll be back tomorrow. We'll see you on Friday.